We'll be talking about that. Revelation chapter number 4
this morning.
There you go, Joe. Are we good? Joe, I felt like you did better in the sound when you were 17 than you are 18. There you are. No, you were on point with the mics tonight, or this morning. And happy birthday to Joe yesterday. And that's, yep. Revelation chapter number 4. Revelation 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, just who you are, God, what you've done for us, the wounds, the blood, Lord, your love and care, all so we can honor and glorify you. God, I pray that our lives would bring you glory. Lord, help us now to see how important that is. Lord, I'm thankful to be able to preach your word, but Lord, I pray that you'd use your word in a powerful way here this morning. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And it's a blessing when the church house is full on the Lord's Day. Thankful for that. Sunday school class is full, and appreciate you being here this morning. But I know you're not here to hear from me. I know you're here to hear from the Lord Himself. And I pray that the message this morning, you'd be reminded, you'd be touched in your heart about how, and I guess we'll begin with the thought that we'll end with, how important each decision and each individual is in glorifying God. To glorify means simply to praise, to magnify, and honor in worship. To ascribe honor to in thought or words. In thought or words. So when it says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." Hey, he's worthy of it all. He's worthy of all the praise. He's worthy of all magnification. He's worthy of all honor and worship. The question is he getting that from us? Well, I appreciate the Lord. I'm thankful to God. I appreciate his kindness and love. And is God being glorified by your life? A lot of people that have no idea why they're on this earth. What am I doing here? What is the goal? What is the purpose of life? To honor and glorify God. Amen. To please the Lord. Say, isn't that like pretty narrow-minded? What about me? That's why you're here. And I'm telling you, the greatest amount of joy that you'll ever experience as a created being is doing what you've been created to do. God has a will for all mankind. Number one, to be saved. The Bible says, 1 Timothy 2:4, "For who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth?" Number two, he wants you to be sanctified. "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse 3. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God." Hey, God's got a plan for your life. Why does he say all those things? Why did he die on the cross? Why does he want you to live a clean life? Why does he want you to say no to sin? Why does he want you to be thankful in your heart? Because he gets glory from that. He gets glory from when the sinner turns from their own wicked lifestyle. They're sinful. Say, "Well, I'm a good person." It's amazing what we justify in our own life. According to God and his perfection, we are not. Do I think you do good things? Sure. Do I think you're kind and caring about your fellow man? Sure. But that's not enough to take away your sin. So he sent his son to die on the cross to pay for your sin. For what purpose? So we could honor and glorify him. See, why didn't he just make me that way? Why didn't he just make me perfect? Why did he give me a free will to choose sin? Because if we're forced to worship the Lord, is that really worship? If you're forced to love something or someone, is that really love? No, the beauty of Christianity is it's all a choice. You chose to be here this morning. You understand that coming to church doesn't save anybody. Carrying your Bible to work on Monday morning doesn't, it simply identifies you. But one day, God gets glory when you yield your will to His and say, I can't do it on my own, I need you. He gets glory from that. And the purpose of these things here, His will, His for you to be saved, for you to be sanctified, set apart for holy use. To express thanksgiving, that is the purpose in glorifying God. It's all about the Lord. It's all about who He is. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter number 16. Say, Pastor, I'd like to hear the message that tells me the world and the universe revolves around me. You're not going to find that in the Scriptures. You're not going to find that in the Bible. We were sitting at the kitchen table last night. I looked at Joe. I said, Joe, who was the person that first discovered that the galaxy or our solar system revolves around the sun? And you said, Copernicus. I'm like, how do you know that? Like, I was looking at trivia and he knew that. Did anybody else know that? Okay, thank you. Did you learn that in your PACE? English? In your English PACE? About Copernicus? Great. Okay, English and science. Where do you go to school? Lake Ontario Baptist Academy. Very good. Hold on, Cameron. Okay. We're gonna start chasing rabbits, and I can't do that. No, the world revolves around me. No, it does not. This is all here for His glory. The quicker we can get a hold of that, the better we'll be daily. 1 Chronicles chapter number 16, look at these beautiful words, starting in verse 24. 1 Chronicles 16, 24. Declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 24. Now verse 25. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Can I ask you here this morning, does your life give glory to God? Or is your life all about you? Verse 29, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Is your worship and your heart pure and right? Because it's all about the Lord. It's all about Him. Everything that we do should bring honor and glory to God. So is that happening? Is that happening in your life? Say, I'm miserable, but then maybe you're not doing that. You try and live for yourself, you know what? You're going to come to this realization real quick. You can't be satisfied. The devil will deceive you. The flesh will deceive you into thinking, oh man, if you just got this, you'd be all set. And you get that, and then it's the next thing, and then it's the next thing. And for your entire existence, you'll be chasing after what it is that satisfies your soul. And God says, let me just tell you real quick. It's to glorify me. And the quicker you get a hold of that, that it's about the Lord and not about you, the quicker you can get on to having joy in your life. Doing what you've been created for. Look at Psalm 115. Glory is all about the Lord. Psalm 115 in verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, but unto, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. Two times in that one verse it says, it's not about you. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. It's not about you. It's about him. Then we jump over to Ephesians chapter number 1. In verse 12. Ephesians 1:12. Way in the New Testament there. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse 12. It says that we should be to the praise of his glory. Hey, what am I supposed to be doing here? That we should be to the praise of his glory. Is God praised and glorified by your life? Well, I just sang songs to him. How about tomorrow? How about this afternoon? How about Thursday? How about, listen now, how about Friday night? How about Saturday night? Well, those times I set aside for me. That's not what it says. It should be about him who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Are you saved here today? Do you know for sure if today was your last day on earth, where would you spend eternity? Do you know for sure? Your good works won't get you into heaven. The Bible says this, in whom also we, after that ye believed, there's faith. Ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. In verse 12, the praise of his glory. Verse 14, the praise of his glory. It's about him. It's not about us. You know, one day the Bible says that go to Philippians, just a couple pages over. Philippians chapter number 2 and verse 11. Verse 10. That the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. To the glory of God the Father. God gets glory from that. Hey, when you bow your head and you kneel before God and say, God, it's not about me, it's about you. God says, there, now I'm glorified. I get glory from you. So again, I'm going to ask, who's it all about? Us Americans, we're the most selfish people in the entire world. So how do you know? I've traveled. I have to have a measurable amount of our time preparing for a foreign missions trip is trying to remind our group that when we travel outside of the United States, we're not treated like Americans. And the world's different. And it's uncomfortable. And it's not about you. I've walked into some houses where there's 10, 11 people that live in a one-bedroom house. No electric, no running water. Say, what on earth? It wasn't about an individual. It's about the Lord. Say, how could I start by glorifying God? Getting saved is a great step, first step. It's mandatory. If you're going to glorify God, you need to be saved. I'll try it my own way. You can't do it your own way. He said, you can't do it with idols. You need me. And it's all about him. 1 Peter chapter number 4. A little further to your right. 1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, 1 Peter 4:11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So again, I don't think it's unreasonable to say God in our life wants glory from everything. So does he get it? Does he get glory from every aspect of our life? Again, is there areas of your life? No, this is me. This is for me. That's not what it should be, is it? That's not what it says. It says it's about him. And if we're taken away from God's glory at any point, I don't think he's pleased with that. I don't think we're doing what we've been created to do. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. When we look out and we look at all these things just working together and how it all, you know, the ecosystem of the world, God says, I get glory from that. When you lay back and I think, when is it? Is it next April that we're going to have the eclipse here? Big time. They're already talking about hotels are sold out in our area that day. Why? Because there's going to be an eclipse and we're going to look at that and everyone's going to look heavenward and go, wow, right? You're going to have to wear funny little glasses because you're staring at the sun. Not wise. Don't stare at the sun, Isaiah. That's not even in my message. Look at this. You're just getting help. But we look at all those things and go, wow. Glory to God. If nature can glorify God, surely you and I can. And you and I should. Point number one, God is worthy of all worship and glory. He's deserving. That is what we've been created to do. So let's look at our life. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Is that what's happening? Remember studying in science and in science, there's two, when you do a lab or something like that, in theory, it's called theoretical yield. Is that correct, Mr. McDowell? And then there's the actual yield. Say, what does that mean? Well, when we take these two things and we combine them, we should get, in theory, this much. And then we took our two things and we combined it, and then we got this much. And how close or what is the difference of what from what we should have to what we actually have. That's what we just looked at this morning. We began with our theoretical yield. He should get all glory. So now it's time to evaluate in our life, what is the actual yield? How much glory does he really get from me? If this is what he deserves and what he desires from me, what am I doing? In 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? 1 Corinthians 6:19, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. I like there's a question mark. There's some that are still confused on that. You still think this is all revolving around you. For you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. As a believer in our daily life, our life ought to glorify God. We saw first that he's deserving of it all. It ought to be all about him. So does he get it all? Hey, when we express our personal will over God's will, God doesn't get glory from that. He's not pleased with that. When we make sinful and fleshly and decisions like that, he's not getting glory from that. Well, it can't be just a little. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, look there. Say, how far does this really go? 1 Corinthians 10:31. Aren't you glad? The Bible has the answer for every question we have. How serious is God about this glory thing? Because every now and then I like a little bit of credit. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Even the most mundane, routine things that are in our life, somehow God ought to get glory. God ought to be glorified with every aspect of our life. If there's an area where you're participating in or you're involved in, and you look at it and go, I don't think God would be pleased with this, but I'm going to continue doing it. No, understand, you're robbing God of glory that he is due. So in your daily life, is he glorified? Does he receive praise and honor? In Romans chapter number 15. Romans 15. Look at verse 5. Romans 15:5 says, Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. So is that happening in your life? Is God being glorified? So how what does that look like? What is that supposed to, how do I incorporate, I want to glorify God, but how does that work? Okay, I'm so glad you asked. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 3 points. Say, whoa, what was all that? If you're just starting with point number 1, 3 points of how you as a believer, as an individual, can glorify God. Number 1, we saw God is worthy. Well, we have to establish first, God is worthy of all glory. God is worthy of all praise. God is worthy of all worship. It's all about him. Sometimes, again, we forget that very fact. Somehow, some way, in our mind and in our heart, we take God off his throne and we sit down and say to God, God, what are you going to do for me? You have it all backwards. God is seated upon his eternal throne, and we come before him humbly and say, God, I yield my will to you. How do I glorify you? And he says, you get saved. You live a holy life. Those are two great ways. So now as believers, here we are in our life. And our life ought to be about glorifying God, every aspect of our life. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse 15. It says this, For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. Do your words glorify God? I've had a few opportunities to preach in other places. And, you know, they're getting you ready and, you know, getting ready to preach, and they put the microphone on. I said, okay. I said, how do I turn this off and on? They said, we have it on. We'll just, it's on. You don't have to do anything. We'll just turn it on when you start preaching. Well, that's 45 minutes from now. I said, I would like to turn it off. They said, well, we'll control that from the back. I understand that. But if I have to have a conversation or if there's a need for, like, the restroom, I don't want audio run. Not that I have anything to hide, but, you know, sometimes you're talking to somebody and you don't necessarily want that recorded or pumped through the building or anything of that sort. Are there words in your life that don't glorify God? Man, I hope no one was running tape there. I hope no one was listening to that conversation. I hope no one heard what I said there. You know, God does, right? Our words ought to glorify God, that they may redound to the glory of God. How often does God get thanks? How often is it verbally spoken that He's glorified by your mouth? So how do I, in my life, glorify God in word and deed and all those things? Does God get glory from what you say? Does God get glory from what you do? Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. In verse 16. If we as believers are to glorify God, we ought to glorify the Lord with our words. I have a hard time understanding why a saved person on their way to heaven, understanding who God is and who they are and the majesty and wonder and how much He loves and is pleased with worship, and we have a way to worship. Singing isn't the only way, but it is a way. No, I'm not into singing. You're not into worshiping and honoring and glorifying God? It is a way. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. How do we glorify God as believers, as individuals? Number one, through our words. Number two, through our works, our good works. The Bible says God gets glory from that. He's pleased with that. Hey, when we do right by God and when we obey this and when we do right according to what the Scripture says, you know what God says? I'm glorified in that. So does God get glory in your words? How about in your actions? A little while ago, we had some, I don't know what happened or whatever, a ball or a rock came through a window over here. It's a double pane, so we didn't really, we lost some efficiency for maybe, I don't know, a few weeks or whatever. But I didn't like that there were parts of the, I don't know. So we have two security cameras that face the outside of the building, so anyway you can pull in, you would theoretically be able to see. But there were, I guess, some areas that we just couldn't see. So we added a camera to face out over towards the playground where the kids play. We have a couple going down the halls now and one over here at the dumpster. Say, why at the dumpster? Weird things have happened at our dumpster. I don't really want to get into all the details, but there's that. So at any given time, all of a sudden at 2 o'clock, my phone warns me, hey, there's motion at the main entrance or at the northwest parking lot. So, whatever, and startling, alarming, and sometimes it's just a spider about the size of, a half dollar, and that's it. And it's like, oh, okay, great. Imagine a camera was run on your life all the time. Not just audio, but how about video? Not just what you're saying, but how about what you're doing? See, why are you bringing it up like that? Because every aspect of our life ought to glorify God. There ought not to be an area as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ that He doesn't get glory. And if we get satisfied with, well, this is me time, I'm going to do this for me, that time will ever increase and get longer and longer and longer. There's a couple days throughout the year that it's nice out here in Rochester, New York. And while we're having school, and we'll let the kids go outside and play. And sometimes on lunchtime, we let them play a little bit longer. So lunchtime's supposed to end at 12:30. I'm out there, I'm playing Foursquare, I'm winning. We're gonna stay out there for a little bit longer. I think the kids know that so they don't hit it to me. Like, don't get him out, because when he gets out, we're going in. And you give them a little extra time, and now it's 12:35, 12:40. Say, wow, you're so generous. 10 minutes outside and beautiful. I understand. But then I say, all right, guys, time to go in. Can we just have 5 more minutes? That's human nature, right? Hey, this time, it's just little, Lord. It's just a little bit of time just for me. It's just to satisfy my flesh. 5 more minutes. 5 more minutes. I don't know who first invented snooze. Say, I would never take 5 more. I don't know why. On my alarm, it's 9 minutes. Any Apple people? 9 minutes. Why 9 minutes? I don't know. But it's enough. It's nice. I'll take it. I know I just slept 7 hours, but I just want 9 more minutes. Isn't that the flesh? God, you have so much. I just want. No, every aspect of our life. And if we get satisfied, say, this is impossible. This is theoretical, but in actual yielding, that's impossible. But it ought to be our aim and goal. Because when we start giving up on time and flesh and sinful lifestyle and all of those and say, I'm satisfied with living and doing things that I know does not glorify God, that piece of the pie is going to get larger and larger and larger. But if we're ever trying to lessen it about being about you and I, and increasing that it's about the glory of God, I think that's headed in the right direction, according to the scriptures. As a believer, our words, our works ought to glorify God. John chapter 15. John 15. John 15 and verse 8. In light of all that we've been talking about, in light of all that we've been reading, in light of all that we've said about the glory of God, when verse 8 starts in, herein is my Father glorified, that should pique a interest ear. What is he talking about? God just said, this glorifies the Father. I want to find out what that is. I want to know what brings God glory. Is it something we've already looked at? Is it something new? Because if my desire is to glorify God, when he makes statements like that, I'm attentive. Because that's my aim, my goal. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. What brings glory to God? Number one, our words. Number two, our works. But number three, the fruit of our labor. Say, what does that look like? Well, the Bible tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and has a list of 9 things. And God says, when you let the Holy Spirit work inside your heart, I'm glorified. We read yesterday, where's Mr. Jabisky? Mr. Jabisky, we read yesterday, Mark chapter number 4, about the sower, right? And the one that really stood out to us at the end was when that seed fell on good ground and it yielded fruit. Hey, why do you think you have the Word of God? Well, just a good book to read on a cold night. No, no. The purpose of this book is to give us instruction on how we ought to live, because God wants fruit from our life. And when he gets fruit, he gets glory. There's other lists in the scriptures, lists of our flesh. The fruit of the flesh, he doesn't get glory from that. Quite honestly, the exact opposite. The fruit of the flesh is why he died on the cross. As an individual, is God glorified with your life? Say, Pastor, I would, as a father, as a mother, as a grandparent, I would like God to be glorified in our home. Do you know how that happens? A home is a glory to God when the individuals inside make a decision to glorify God. When you have a home filled with individuals or parts, who endeavor to glorify the Lord, the whole will also. You have a role that's important. I'm only 13. Yeah, but your decision personally to glorify the Lord helps your home glorify the Lord. If you, as a young person or as an individual, whether it's husband, wife, child, grandparent, maybe you live alone, I don't know, and you say, you know what, I want to live for myself. You know what you just did? You just made a home that doesn't glorify the Lord as it could or as it should. As the individuals go, so goes the home. So can I ask you here this morning again, is God getting glory from your life? Well, it's just, no, it has a ripple effect. And listen now, as the home goes, so goes the church. Same applies to the church, because the church is made up of individuals and families. And when each make a commitment to glorify God, well, now we have a collective group of people that have the same mind and the same desire to glorify the Lord. Last verse, Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse 21. Unto him be glory in the church. So how is that possible? Of course, why wouldn't it be? Because the church isn't about the buildings. It's not about the hymnals. It's not about any of that. It's not about the song sheets. It's about individuals that have made a decision with their heart. Worship isn't about harmony, although it sounds beautiful. Don't get me wrong. I don't want you singing off. Girls, when you come up and sing that again tonight, I don't want you to, like, hey, Pastor said it's not about harmony. You sing something different and I'll sing. No, there's something pleasing in that sound. But you understand that you could make something sound real good that is not worship. As a church, we could meet on a Sunday morning, Bibles in hand, ties around our neck, skirts to the ankle, you know, all of that. Sunday school lessons, flannel graphs, whatever it is, PowerPoints, Oreo snacks, all of the stuff. And yet God not get glory. Why? Because individuals did not make a commitment and a decision to honor and glorify the Lord. Ephesians 3:21, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. This wasn't just for the church of Ephesus. This is for our church right here, right now. And I'm saying all of that to say this. You matter and it matters. It matters what you do on Friday. Because as an individual, if you've made a decision to glorify God, it impacts Sunday. It impacts Dad when you walk in the door back at home, what you did while you were away. Mom, it impacts the thoughts and ideas that you have in your heart and in your mind towards God. If there's a thing going on up in here or in here that's contrary to the scriptures, it has an impact on the home. And it has an impact in the church. So I want to be in a church that glorifies God. Then you glorify God. It's an individual decision. And I'm here to tell you again, it matters what you do. I'm just another face in the crowd. Man, I am thankful. I mean, I would preach to a church of one. I wouldn't necessarily, like, I would. Because it's about the Lord. But it is a blessing to come into the church house and see chairs full. I want you to understand that you matter to the glory of God. What you do throughout the week has impact in your home and in your church for God's glory. Those places are designed for him to get glory. That was his plan. His plan is to get glory from you. Whether there's one person in your home or, I don't know, Brother Rodell, 10 or whatever you're up to. That's good. But the same purpose. That means, Kaylee, you have an impact on your home. Benjamin, you have an impact on your home. Your decision to glorify God directly impacts your home and your teen ministry and your youth group. Brother Sutliff, the same with you. So, well, it's just me and the wife. It's still the same purpose. The purpose of the church is to glorify God. And the only way that can happen is when the individuals of the church glorify the Lord. Let's all stand. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, that is the first thing. Say, I've been wrestling with this in my heart and in my mind, but today I want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to take a step of faith, and I want to put my faith and trust in the Lord. I want to ask him to forgive me of my sin. Is anybody like that here this morning? You can just raise your hand. I want to get saved today. I want to put my faith and trust in the Lord. Anybody like that?